Very rarely, but sometimes we will hear something called recitative accompagnato, or recitative obbligato, or recitative strumento. And that's when the whole orchestra accompanies a singer singing recitative. Now, after 1660, this is very rare. It's only for the most important moments in an opera, and I would tell you that in Baroque opera, we will only hear aristocratic characters sing accompanied recitative, because of the way it elevates the character. A common character, a servant, someone on those lines would never get accompanied recitative in the opera of the Baroque. Conversely, aria is almost always accompanied by the orchestra. Aria will exhibit a high melodic profile in which the nature of the tune interprets and deepens the impact of the words. For example, when we listened to Verdi's Addio Terra, at the beginning of the previous lecture, I hope I made it darned clear that it's the music that brings the expressive impact, not the words. The composer is the interpreter. The composer is the dramatist. Let us turn to another Baroque opera now. This is Purcell's Dido and Aeneas, and we've talked about Dido and Aeneas in a previous lecture, so I don't have to tell you the whole story again, but very briefly I would mention that Dido is the queen of Carthage. She's in love with a young man named Aeneas, who is a survivor of the sack of Troy. Aeneas and his band of Trojan survivors has been wandering the Mediterranean. Ultimately, they will found the city of Rome. However, they have stopped off in Carthage, and during that time, we've had a hot affair between the rather older queen of Carthage, Dido, and this young gentleman, Aeneas. The gods have called Aeneas back to his duty. He has told Dido he's going to leave, and she has told us that she's about to pierce her bosom with the blade. Now, back to that moment, Dido's famous lament. But now we will hear the recitative that precedes the aria, and now we will hear this wonderful Baroque aria in its full length. This is what I want you to be aware of while we listen. First and foremost, the difference between secco recitative and fully accompanied aria. Here is her recitative. She's speaking, by the way, to her maid. Thy hand, Belinda, darkness shades me. And please notice how ominously Purcell sets the word darkness. On thy bosom let me rest. More I would, but death invades me. Death is now a welcome guest. And over the span of this brief recitative, her voice falls the length of seven notes, what we call a seventh. And this deathly fall beautifully predicts the morbid character of the aria to follow. When I am laid in earth, may my wrongs create no trouble, no trouble in thy breast. When I am laid in earth, may my wrongs create no trouble in thy breast. Remember me. Remember me, but ah, forget my fate. Remember me, but ah, forget my fate. While we are hearing this deathly and morbid, as I mentioned in that earlier lecture, almost funereal aria, we will hear a bass line that descends like this. Listen. Over and over and over again. Now, whenever we hear a descending chromatic bass line, white note, black note, white note, black note, it sounds like a funeral train. This is almost a shtick in the music of the Baroque era and the classical era and the Romantic era. Descending bass line equals a funeral march. So we hear underneath her voice the funereal descent of her impending death. Let us please, 11 times I would tell you we hear that descending bass line. Let us please listen to the recitative and aria, Dido's Lament, from Purcell's Dido and Aeneas of 1689. And again, what I want us to be most aware of is the difference between secco recitative and aria, firstly, and secondly, how well Purcell projects her emotions and her feelings at this signal moment of the opera.